best Fridays. Volume up and get ready. Welcome to my podcast. Usual Friday. Hey, what is up, everyone? It is Talk About It Friday. We have been absolutely, literally so busy that we've had to come back, you know, because we have done what we had to do. And I've got a great guest on the show today. Well, not just me. So here's my co-host, Nicole Glosier.
Hello, everyone.
And Ash Cotter.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
No, absolutely. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So it's great to, connect. Finally, we've been talked about it a couple of months, but yeah, it's nice to actually come on and share some insight with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us a little bit about you.
So my background is basically my life story. I come from kind of quite a rough childhood. I had learning difficulties in school. I never had like anything going for me kind of as a child growing up. So I've overcome depression, anxiety, learning difficulties. I had anxiety for my life. I was an introvert, and basically I was a drug addict from age 12. So as a child, I went through, a really rough time. I was in gangs, in trouble. I had literally left school with like an F in English. And from that point, I went through an empowering life of just trying to better myself. I lost a lot of jobs in the process. I couldn't fit in anywhere. And in the end, I finally realized who I was. I learned a lot about myself, and I had what I would call a spiritual experience, like an awakening. And it all clicked, what I was supposed to do in life. And at age 29, I was diagnosed with autism. And I started studying people who were autistic, Albert Einstein, Nikola Tesla, Isaac Newton, Charles Darwin. And I was listening to their life stories and read their books. And I was like, these guys sound so much like me. Like I realized that they I had a similar condition to them, like in the way I thought. They were on the same spectrum as me. And it inspired me because by that time, I'd already been a life coach. I'd already been a personal trainer. I'd already been in sales and business development. I strive to overcome my shyness by moving into sales. So I took that, that kind of mantra of get comfortable being uncomfortable. And I started doing sales, and I forced myself to be extroverted in my professional life. So even though I am an introvert, I'm quite a shy person, I kind of got comfortable being extroverted in business and in sales. And that helped me in my life. So yeah, I become an author, started writing and studying and researching. I started connecting things. And you might have seen I'm involved in running the 11/11 movement, which is a huge group. We've got over 160,000 members. I also co-founded a group called Ignite Your Light, which has got nearly 50,000 members. And the purpose of that is to try and help people overcome adversity, find purpose in their life. And what I want to do long term is help people come onto events, be speakers, be coaches, start businesses. So we're just trying to help people who have been lost, like myself, but also people who might already be entrepreneurs, find that wisdom, that balance, that kind of clarity on what direction they want to go. So it's all about making purposeful goals in the world and making the world a better place, I'd say, is what I do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the drug addiction as well. I mean, tell us a little bit about that, if that's all right with you.
Yeah, of course. So basically, when I was age 11, I went to high school. Very shy child. I was being like bullied. I didn't have any friends. And I thought to myself, I can either be this shy, kind of introverted, lonely boy who's going to be like bullied, or I can start misbehaving. I realized by acting up in school and classes, it got me attention. And the other children who were in the gangs, I started smoking cigarettes. And they were like, oh, this boy's cool. He's really bad behaved. So I was kind of like getting involved in the gangs. And then I built a reputation as this crazy kid who was 12 years old. Like, oh, this boy Ashley's crazy. He's a really sound guy. And they welcomed me into the gang, and there were older kids in that gang. And they were like 14, 15, 16. And I was like 11, 12. And they were going for that phase of drugs. So it started when I tried taking ecstasy and amphetamine, as people were doing that. So I tried that. And my mother was oblivious to it, because obviously you don't expect your child to be doing that. I was only going out in the evenings. And I developed a habit, and I hid it well. I was going out in the days, but coming back in the nights. And I'd just be going to bed, and no one noticed. I was living with my mother. Obviously, you wouldn't be able to tell. I was coming in late and kind of just briefly saying, hi, how are you? And then going to bed. So it's very hard to tell if you're not open to that, because like I say, I wouldn't expect my 11-year-old child or 12-year-old child to be involved in that kind of thing. So it was very eye-opening to go through that experience. And then when I changed schools, and that's 14, 15, I went through that again because people my age were then doing it again. They're going through that same phase. But I'd already been through that addiction and trauma and seeing what the cause and effect of what it could be. So it made me a bit more streetwise. And I got into athletics and sports. And I basically, despite my issues in school, the learning difficulty, the autism, I became a county champion. I won medals and I represented Wales at schoolboy level. So I kind from being that drug addict, within a year, I went to being a national champion. So it was a massive turnaround. I was smoking every day and smoking weed and stuff and all the other stuff on the weekends. But then I changed schools and I went from that to a completely different person. So I think that experience was the first layer of my awareness and virtue I gained from going from one child to another. I experienced the lows of being a traumatic child. And then I experienced the highs. I was training with the best athletes in the country. And I got to see, I started boxing when I was 16. I trained with professional boxers. Steve Robinson was my coach. He was a world champion. If you look him up, he was a featherweight champion. So he trained me for a couple of years. So I got to see the pros of being a child and I got to see the negatives. And I kind of took that through with me. And even though it was hard to find balance going into later in life, work, I think I started very young to see the world in ups and downs, good and bad. And that carried on.
Yeah, that's amazing. I was just thinking, for you to say you didn't fit in anywhere and then to change your life, that is a really good thing to go through, because growing up in the day that it is now, it can be very pressuring for young people if you don't fit in somewhere. And yeah, I was absolutely exactly the same.
Yeah, I agree.
And I was the problem child as well. Leaving school and all that lot, I've totally changed, and it's just crazy how you can just turn your life around.
Absolutely. And it's so hard because we get taught to speak in a certain way, act in a certain way. And when you go against the noise, especially if it's your first time, you don't know if you're right or wrong. You're always looking for that approval or that voice to say, you're doing well. But I had to trial and error, so I made mistakes and I had to fail my way to clarity.
An erotic novel by Kyle Cannon, The Photographer Story, now available on Amazon.
So I tried a lot of different things and I eventually figured out, okay, this is working, this isn't working. And I wanted to do it my own way because I knew if I eventually found that clarity myself, I would be able to know, rather than listening to somebody else and never testing those boundaries. Because that's what happens in society. We listen to what we're told and we never test the boundaries. And then we end up doing things we perhaps don't want to do. But when you test the boundaries and you take risks and step into the unknown, you don't only grow, but you find a different part of yourself that perhaps you didn't know you could be. So that's what my experience was with coming out.
Yeah, that's incredible. So obviously you've had a drug addiction problem. How did you manage to come off it? I mean, obviously you was, going out, coming home, going to bed, waking up. Was it kind of repeated thing that you done?
Well, it wasn't like a physical addiction to the harder substances. It was a weekend. It was every weekend. It was like a mental addiction. Well, I'd want to be going out. The discipline wasn't there. It was an escape for me because A, I had a hard time dealing with myself, being isolated. Yeah. B, I just had a hard time in life. I went through quite a rough childhood and I had all these issues in myself. Being undiagnosed with autism, I didn't know what was wrong with me. I was like, what am I? I'm not normal. I feel like I'm wired differently. And I had to spend 29 years of my life thinking there's something wrong with me. I'm just a shy, weird child. But when I found out it was autism and I learned my strengths, I completely changed. So going back to the addiction, I just started to read books, study people, look at rags to riches stories, study success. And I realized there are a lot of successful people in the world who didn't have an education. They began to read success and study billionaires or millionaires and, other things like spirituality, law of attraction, the book Think and Grow Rich.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Have you heard of that? Napoleon Hill? A lot of them talk about reading, those books or being aware of law of attraction or mindset, positive mindset, and, having a deeper intuitive state of mind. And that was behind their clarity. So I started looking into that and trial and testing things, and I found my purpose. And that surpassed my desire to procrastinate. I didn't want to procrastinate. I didn't want to take drugs. I didn't want to be bored and just watch TV. I wanted to better myself, and I wanted to follow this path because it inspired me and it made me feel good. So I finally found something that I love that surpassed my desire to want to take drugs, to want to gamble, to want to do things that are dysfunctional. So I think it was about finding something that has more power in it and could surpass that desire. I think if you can't surpass the fixation to try and escape life, you're not connected to your purpose. You're not connected to something you truly should be doing in life.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So now you say you're helping other people with speaking and things like that. So what do you actually do for them?
So in terms of speaking, I mean, the events is very much, this is very much in its infancy, but I'm about to publish a book that's going live on Amazon 10th of July. It's called Beyond the Spectrum. And it's going to be, I hope it's going to be hitting number one in its genre. But I connected the work of Einstein and Tesla in the book, and I talk about synchronicity and how, you know, having that intuitive state not only impacted me, but there's case studies of many millionaires, many successful people who found that they had the same experience. So I've connected the dots, and I'm saying, like, if all these successful people have been aware of this and they've helped this help them succeed, and all these people who've been unsuccessful, statistically, 20% of people who have been broken and happy in life know of this. But 80% of people who are highly successful, be it a megastar or an athlete or a spiritual teacher or whatever, will talk about these habits and this awareness. So it's not natural that this statistic and algorithm is higher in those people who are high performers and highly successful.
So I
kind of talk about that, but it's more about overcoming anxiety, addiction, depression, and all these other factors I mentioned in the book. And there's another book I've made called The Warrior's Code, and the third book is Clarity, trying to help people gain clarity on their purpose, their passion, their vision, so they can do whatever, not just speaking. They might want to be a coach, they might want to be a better mum, better parent, better entrepreneur. And it's just giving people clarity, not to be scared of life, not to fear death, not to fear, you know, the things that are scaring you in life, and give them movement out.
I think that's kind of the
first layer. Yeah, because we all fear the worst sometimes, and we all like, what if it goes wrong, or, you know, what if people don't like what I do, or what if my parents or friends laugh at me, or
and
I guess what I found is by looking at these celebrities, you know, these A-listers, they get a lot of criticism, and they're world famous, amazing people. They've done phenomenal things, and people will still criticize them in films and say that was a rubbish film and so on and so on. And you need to just get used to that stigma if you're going to be in the public eye or if you're going to do anything. So it's understanding that just because one person says, I don't like what you do, or you're not good at what you do, it doesn't mean that's true. And it doesn't mean you can't develop it or you can't become better. And I always say, if it feels right inside of you, I take this from Jack Canfield. If you ever get goosebumps thinking of an idea in your head, or it makes you tingle, he calls it God bumps, which means you're kind of in line to your destiny or your life purpose or soul purpose.
Yeah.
And it makes you like fire up inside. And it's like telling you, you're on the right path. It might be hard. You're going to go through obstacles, but don't give up. And what he found was he had 144 rejections for his first book. Yeah. And on the 145th publisher, they said yes. And the reason he didn't give up was because he had the goosebumps. He had that feeling that he was on the right path. And he knew, even though most people would have given up by then, he knew inside that he was destined to succeed. And that's powerful.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So would you say that
it makes you think like that energy?
Yeah. Sorry. I was going to say, are you...
That's cool.
Would you say that you're a life coach and business coach?
I would say I'm a motivational speaker. My main vision and goal is to... The work I've done is I've got a book coming out later in the year called The Einstein Gene, The Hidden Secrets of Genius. So I studied the genius minds. And I believe that everything is rooted in the beginning of the foundation, our behaviors, our decisions, our actions, our emotions, our focus, our mentality, our determination, our mindset, and our abilities to form good habits come from how we condition ourselves and what we're exposed to in society. So it's first about making people aware of these risks that condition you. Like, I was conditioned to be dysfunctional, but I changed it. So I want, but it's also about having a deeper rooted understanding and awareness that can stem you to your purpose and more integrity, because I believe we're approaching a world that needs change. The world, we talk about climate change, we talk about resources, we talk about population. So we can't keep serving ourselves for our own gain. We need to give back and look at pioneering solutions and getting a higher ratio of people in the world who want to impact the planet, not just for us, but for future generations.
Yeah,
if we don't act, if we don't act now, in 100 years' time, if we keep sustaining ourselves on unused resources without giving back, there's going to become an imbalance that can't sustain every person. We move from that selfish mentality to a more outlooking, selfless, I want to help impact somewhere or someone, and we can give that to the next generation. But within 30 to 50 years, I believe that they have been more selfless, altruistic natured by mm-hmm. educating them in the right way. And that's my goal long term. It's about giving people purpose. But by the time I've been successful, I want to move into helping people see we've got to change the world and we've got to think beyond our own time. Because otherwise, in 100 years, our mistakes today will be impacting our grandkids and their grandkids. And you know, we can be remembered as the generation in human history who changed the fate of the planet. And if for good, you know, we can all be seen as heroes if we all step up and save this world.
If nothing is done,
we will have a more difficult challenge at some point. Because there are, you know, we look at the way the ice caps are melting and animals are, certain species are showing signs of being extinct. There are early signs that we're doing something wrong and we can change it. There is technology, there are genius people who can be developed, but we need to focus more on pioneering people rather than just suppressing people to only work in the system. So it's about saying, look, we need more geniuses. We need more people who are creative and can pioneer or become entrepreneurs or have that intention that's not just for themselves, giving them that education. And that's really my goal in the long run. It's kind of bringing that information out, not just helping people in business, but helping the planet just wake up to, you can do much more than you realize. And it is important that you act because you're going to impact your children and your grandchildren by making a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, this is the reason why we do this show, is because we want to leave an impact in people's lives. We want to empower people. But we, you know, again, we can't do that alone. So we need other people, you know, like you and so many inspiring people to join this club and just share that inspiration.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big job. There's hundreds of thousands of people worldwide who need to just work as one from different cultures, different diversities, and even politics. We need to all come together and say, you know, we need to just look at not profit, not how to run the country, but how to look 30 years, 50 years ahead, and not just about our own lifetimes, but say, if we don't act selflessly, what about the long-term consequences? And if we can all just put our troubles and our issues aside and come together with a bit more intention, to help the planet, and that is a way to make a new system that would still be profitable, still be sustainable, but it would be for better causes. And all these billionaires, all they'd have to do is invest money in new technology, new economics, and they would still be rich. They wouldn't lose their money. So it's not about control, but it would be benefiting the planet.
Yeah.
So it's just about like working a new system, I think, long term. And if somebody can come up with that, be it the pioneers of the world leaders, and go, we do need to change the system slightly to move the intention of people. It's not easy, but I think like if they all got together and just really considered that, I think we could actually impact. It wouldn't affect them or their agenda. It would just impact the planet, and people could still make money and be happy and do what they want. It wouldn't, you know, destroy businesses or destroy, you know, the establishments.
Yeah, definitely. So, a lot of people, they're just blind to it now, though, so... They only see what the eyes want to see and not invest and make a better, like you say, a better thing for our planet.
So. But I think some of them don't realise. I think maybe some do, but I think a lot of them just haven't got that awareness yet or they don't want to take the risk. But I think if they did take the risk, they would find that it would work. I'm positive we'll see changes in the next. There's so many people now I've met from the groups we do who are doing extraordinary things in the world. Like we see like thousands of people posting every day. Some of these people have got phenomenal ideas and talents, and they're still quite young. So I'm sure in 10 years' time, these kind of ideas and businesses will really start to influence the online space.
Absolutely. I totally agree. You know, mate, honestly, thank you ever so much for coming onto the show. You've been a great guest. And
yeah, thank you.
It's been absolutely awesome.
You're welcome.
Is there anything that you want to say to get across to our audience?
No, I mean, just... If anyone's listening to this, if anyone's watching this, be it if you're listening for curiosity or you're looking to change your life, we always have more potential than we think. And the noise of society and what we think is often limited. So always trust yourself. Always learn to take decisions and trust your own inner voice. And eventually, even if you fail a few times, don't lose hope, because that failure will lead you to be a stronger person and gain more clarity on your own conviction. And if you don't do that, you'll never gain that conviction.
Absolutely.
And that's key to trusting your business and finding out what is your true fit.
Yeah,
so that's
definitely
what I would say
to anyone
Absolutely. Wow, absolutely. Thank you ever so much, my friend. Really, really appreciate this.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure to be on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So don't forget, guys, that you can check out Ash Cotter. Links are in the description. He is an absolute awesome guy. I was going to say gem. But I'm not going to say gem. I'm going to say awesome guy. So don't forget, guys, that you can head over to www.talkaboutitfriday.com if you have a story to share. Don't forget to like and subscribe as well. Again, thank you ever so much, Ash. And
you're again, welcome. I really appreciate your time.
Absolutely. And Nicole Glozier as well. Absolutely awesome.
Thanks, guys. Thanks to both of you.
Absolutely. Take care.
We are on air. It's Talk About Friday.